Hi, I'm Dr. Clive Posley, and welcome again to Moves That Matters. I'm excited to have you guys here. I appreciate the fellowship. You guys have been blessing me. I'm looking at the shares that we're getting, and I just really do appreciate it. Let me give a shout out to some people I know have been watching in Switzerland, some in Germany. I really do appreciate your fellowship. Want to keep this in mind. If you like the show, please comment, hit the like, the love button, and by all means, please do share. I want to just remind you real quick about my book, More Than Icons and Images, Uncovering the Hidden Protest Narrative of the Black American Athlete in the 21st Century. What I do in that book is give a history to African-American male protest on American soil. It's a 400-year history that leads us to, that culminates with the 1968 Metal Stand protest, which took place October 16th in Mexico City, Mexico, by Tommy Smith and John Carlos on the Mexico City Olympic medal stand. Interesting note to remind people of is there were 400 Mexicans who had been killed the day before, the week leading up to the medal stand protest, and had been buried right outside the Mexico City Stadium. And so death threats had been swirling around Tommy Smith and John Carlos. But believe it or not, it was a white brother, Brother Norman, who was the third person on the medal stand protest. The other white person you see there is Avery Brundage, who was head of the Olympic coordinating committee there. But these brothers did that protest, and I discuss it in this book, Under the Duress and the Threat of Death. It's a good book. I want you to pick it up. You can look at the bottom of the screen and see that you can pick it up on my website, drcliveposeley.com. You can pick it up on amazon.com. Whatever the case, get it. It's a good book to have for your library, particularly if you're interested in the plight of the African-American male, which we will be discussing shortly. We have a fantastic show as lined up for you. As you know, we've been discussing saving our African-American males. I have two guests with me today, and we are going to get at it. We are seriously going to focus on African-American males. We're going to get involved theologically, sociologically. You do not want to miss this next segment. Listen, tune in, hit share, tell somebody that Dr. Posey's on with Moves That Matters. You don't want to miss this moment. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Moves That Matter. We have been discussing saving our African-American males. This is an issue in America. It is an issue in your country. If you're watching from abroad, it's an issue in every state, and it is certainly an issue here in Indianapolis. Today, I am blessed. I'm excited to have a friend of over 40 years here with me today. His brother is a strong African-American male himself. He's reported, his reputation is to be a strong African-American male. He is raised and is raising a strong African-American male. I'm going to give him an opportunity to introduce himself. And then we also have a special guest educator here with us today. And we're going to have some serious conversations. So I want you to put your thinking caps on and engage. I want you to engage in the comment section as we have our conversation. But make no mistake about it. We are trying to prove that we're serious about the discussion and having our own think tank about what we can do, solutions to address the plight of African-American males here and across our country. Mr. Simmons.
Thank you, Brother Posley. I appreciate you inviting myself and Mr. Floyd here this
morning.
Glad
to have you.
As you said, you and I have been knowing each other for over 40 years.
I'm 42, though.
Nothing but love for you, sir. I've watched you as a young man. I'm a day or so older. So I've watched you as a young man, and I've seen you grow up and develop into a dynamic pastor who's trying to save lives and add to the kingdom here in Indianapolis.
So I appreciate it.
Blessings to you always. Bless you. And I have nothing but love for you, sir.
Bless you. Talk to us a little bit about what you do and why African-American males are important to you.
Well, I'm an Eli Lilly retiree, first of all. I was there for 30 years. But currently, I'm in education. I'm the dean of students at Phelan Leadership Academy. I'm also director of security operations for the Phelan schools as well. Black males are important to me because, number one, I am one. and I'm raising one.
That's right.
So at the end of the day, we need to make sure that our young brothers get it.
Right.
At this current time, I think that we're losing out here the battle. We're losing the battle. And we need strong brothers like you guys to get off and come in and help. Do what we need to do to get our young brothers in order so they can live.
That's right.
You want to live. So that's the reason why I do what I do. This is my ministry.
Right. That's great. Mr. Floyd, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. Introduce yourself, if you would, and just talk to us a little bit about, after your introduction, what you do and why African-American males are important to you.
Well, I concur with my friend and neighbor, Brother Simmons here. When it comes to African-American males, of course, I'm an African-American male. Mm-hmm. I have two sons of my mm-hmm. own and a daughter. And I'm constantly thinking about what is important for me to share with them mm-hmm. concerning their growth and development and how they exist in this world,
right.
Along with other races and cultures and so forth and so on. I'm an educator. I'm an educator of 20 years. Mm-hmm. I have wandered all of Indiana, from Northwest Indiana to now to Central Indiana, mm-hmm. Educating children. Not only as a classroom teacher, but as a school administrator. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen firsthand what happens early on with families and how they're raising their children mm-hmm. and how that directly impacts society, especially the schoolhouse, which mm-hmm. we all say is a microcosm mm-hmm. of society or communities. And so I see that firsthand. It's important because if we do not dive into this problem, if we do not become intentional and purposeful mm-hmm. about what we do and how we do it, then we're casting generations aside.
Mm-hmm.
But because this is all about me. Mm-hmm. It's all about me right now and what I need to
right.
do. And it's not translating to how we care for our children
right, right.
and how we're investing in our children. So this is a very important topic, and I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. Right, so it was important to me to invite Mr. Simmons here, as well as Mr. Floyd. I wanted Mr. Simmons and to help me co-host today.
Yes, sir.
Because he and I grew up in the same neighborhood, and we have watched many of our brothers fall on one side or the other of what growing up in urban settings can do to a black male.
Yes, we have.
We've seen some success stories. We've seen some tragedies.
Yes.
And so I wanted Mr. Simmons to kind of co-host. And so, audience, if it comes across like he's co-hosting today, he is. He is. He's gonna bounce things off Mr. Simmons, and Mr. Simmons and I are going to bounce things off some things together. So notwithstanding that it is obvious, Mr. Simmons, that race is the perennial factor to the black male oncology. There is always this grappling with race that goes with it's kind of like cooking. There is no, my mother used to say, there is no cooking without some form of salt in it somewhere.
Right.
And for the African American male to be saved, we must accept the fact that on American soil, race is a factor in all that we have to grapple with.
Absolutely.
Beyond that, now with that being said, what are some other issues that you see, or what are some expressions maybe, but some issues that you see troubling the future of African-American males in Indianapolis or just wherever?
It's an excellent question, sir. I talk to parents. I talk to students on a daily, being director of student behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I see the lack of male leadership in the houses.
Mm-hmm.
Young men are being told by our sisters, you're the man of the house. So when they come to school, when you try to get them to conform mm-hmm. and do things that you need them to do,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to do it because they've been told that they're the male. They're the man.
Wow.
So in saying that, I think that we need to get together, meet with some of these young mm-hmm. men, have forums in the community to show them that at the end of the day, we love them. That's all they want
to
see.
Where they speak, where they speak to us?
Absolutely, because they feel our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We keep it 100, and when they see that, they'll share. Mm-hmm. They just want to know that people care for them,
that's,
and that's what I see as a brother that's been in this field, mm-hmm. that's been mentoring young men for over 25 years. I think we can get it back, but it's going to take some work from some kingdom men. And
let me just ask you something, because something comes to mind as you say that. Are you suggesting that some of the behavior that you see comes from some premature pressure on African-American males to perform like men too soon?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. I see it quite often. I've had a 15-year-old boy come in and tell me that he's the man of his house. And that expectation, when you say you're the man,
right,
you
all
have
of
to
what
lead
goes with being
everything
a,
that goes right. with it. No right. child that age should have to carry the mantle right. of being a man in his household.
That's well, then that there's an issue that's not being discussed very often.
It's not
being discussed very often, no. Because if you put too much weight on anything that is not designed to handle, it's gonna crumble under the weight.
Absolutely.
It's gonna crumble under the weight. And so it would be safe then therefore to say that some of what we see in terms of and let me tell me what you think, Mr. Floyd. Some of what we see in the behavior of some of our African American males is crumbling under the weight of pressure that they weren't prepared to handle
yes.
yet. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
I think I absolutely agree. The adultification of young people, young black males, mm-hmm. making them grow up too fast. As you well said in your analogy, where you talk about development and how a child develops, mm-hmm. when you talk about pressure and something that is supposed to grow, if there is too much top pressure, what should have grown to full maturity sometimes takes a whole new shape and mm-hmm. form. Maturity is dwarfed. Mm. Even when you think it's growing, maturity is dwarfed because there's not the experiences that go along with the decision making that mm-hmm. these young people are right. having to make right. as adults. And so we adultify our children. Wow. We call them little man. That's my little man. And then give him different privileges and make him responsible for different things well beyond
his
years.
His
mind is not prepared. His spirit is not prepared
right.
because you're asking that child what people are not considering. What am I asking this child to do?
Mm-hmm.
What am I asking this child to be? What am I assuming this child has in him to pour out? And, you know, if you don't have anything to pour out, mm-hmm. then you're just scratching at the bottom.
Right.
You know, and so
right.
whatever you right. have at the bottom, that's what's coming out. You're assuming that you're giving good things out. But who are your mentors?
That's right.
You know, and so now wisdom comes from a child.
That is,
life
that,
experiences
that is
come from a child. It's right. ridiculous to assume that children can lead themselves.
You know, a couple of things come to mind that kind of sanction mm-hmm. what you're saying as truth. One, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul said that when I was a child, mm-hmm. I thought as a child.
Right.
You know, bringing in the principle that, look, when I was a child, mm-hmm. I did and thought like a child. And that's right. what children do. No
yes.
matter what position you put them in,
exactly.
they're going to be like children. But and also a psychological truth bears out what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You will know this as an educator. We all of us having been formally educated had to deal with abnormal psychology to get through college,
sure.
The course.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you guys remember we learned was that the amygdala, mm-hmm. in the brain of young people, scientists suggest, mm-hmm. is not fully formed
sure.
until they're around 25 years old.
Yes. Right.
And so some of the behavior that we only deem as criminal
mm-hmm.
is a cognitive issue
right.
and a logic issue because the pathogens are not meeting properly in the amygdala
right.
and they're not thinking properly. That's why there's such a shift in behavior post-25.
That's right.
Than pre-25.
Right.
And that bears that out. So then you guys have just touched on something that's really important, because what it suggests, it gives me, I think, the space to notion that some of the behavior, the thing search for bling, or the maybe some violent tendencies,
sure.
yes. or looking for relief from life through sexual encounters and sexual notches on the belt. I'm not making excuses,
mm-hmm.
but what we're here to talk about is some of why maybe our African American, and we're focusing on African American males. We know there are other males, but this focus, we're being narrow.
Right.
I was working on my dissertation. My dissertation committee told me, look, trust us, be narrow,
that being narrow will cause things to expand.
Yes.
So we're not avoiding other cultures, but we're talking about black males. So what this means is maybe some of the behavior that we see, this need to be patted on the back and be seen, is in many ways an expression of many of our African American males. It's maybe it's a scream for help. Hey, mm-hmm. It's more on us than we're prepared to.
Right.
You know, Ms. Simmons?
It absolutely is a scream for help. Mm-hmm. Our young men, in my conversation with young men, they tell me, Mr. Simmons, I feel invisible. Mm-hmm. I feel invisible. Wow. What do I need to do, Mr. Simmons? How can I get out of this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And when kids seem that way and they act that way, the anger comes.
Yes.
And then that's when you start seeing the violence that's in right. our community mm-hmm. that we are not able to rebound wow. from, because the people that are in our community, a lot of times, they don't hug. They don't show caring toward these young men. And that's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it. I'm a witness that when you show them the love, they will climb a mountain for you.
Mm-hmm. That is powerful. You know, one of the things I have said on this show, and I want you to talk about this, if you will, Mr. Floyd, is that I use the term principles every day. If you know me, I constantly talk about principles. And one principle about anger is that anger is always married to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there is anger, there is fear of
sure.
something.
Mm-hmm.
What then? And one of the questions that we agreed to discuss today will bring this around. In a 1992 book written by Ronald Takaki, mm-hmm. Entitled "Violence in the Black Imagination," I want you guys to discuss, and we'll start with you, Mr. Floyd. In your estimation, as a black brother and educator, why is violence and anger against our fellow brothers seemingly such a major part of the young black male psyche? Why is that?
I believe we feed ourselves violence, right?
How so?
We are what we eat. And so if back in my day, growing up, NWA was popular.
Mm-hmm.
And so the outcry around NWA was because of gangster rap.
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening during that period of time, unbeknownst to young people, was that the violent culture that was geographically located in Compton, California,
mm-hmm.
that was not known by a kid in Indianapolis, Indiana, or Evansville, Indiana,
beginning to permeate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and because of media transcended the geographical locations to where now I am being instructed.
Mm-hmm.
I am being taught and mentored
yeah.
through the media, through style and all that
wow.
to mimic
wow.
what
wow.
I would never have known about. Or what I've known very little about.
Mm-hmm.
And so through media was the spread of violence. And that now you take that point to today, where at any point in time during the day, back in our day, TV shut off at midnight and
right.
it was snowy and
right.
you had the pledge, the Star Spangled Banner and
we'll
all of that
night.
Would come on,
right.
National Anthem would come mm-hmm. on, and then that would be it. That is not this day. This day, media is 24
so many
hours
of our
a
black
day.
Males have grown up in a culture which has cultivated
right.
the imagination for violence.
Right. Absolutely. And has been glorified.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have World Star, which is mm-hmm. out there. And so violence is glorified. Violence is celebrated. Violence is light.
Well, let me ask you this. Mr. Simmons,
sure.
Chime in here. Why do we, is there anything, do you think there's anything in the black male, the former black slave, the descendant of the black slave, the descendant of the black African-American black male protester, that makes us ready for violence quickly?
Yeah, I think that because of what we've been through.
Or susceptible to
violence.
To violence, yeah.
I think what we've been through, I think that it's inbred in us.
Hmm.
We've been through a tragedy as black men, as black people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times these young men going through things that they go through, they will be what they see.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to piggyback off Mr. Floyd, the media, It's killing our children.
You know, D.L. Hughley has a saying that murder is a crime of proximity.
Absolutely.
And so he notions that that great deal of the black on black crime that we see is because there is it is the outpouring of that anger. And normally when a person has that kind of problem out of control, they express it on what is most accessible to them. And that happens to be another brother.
100% right. Yeah. The communities that they live in, mm-hmm. those are the communities that they terrorize.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And I'll tell you, more than not, mm-hmm. I've talked to young men that have told me, Mr. Simmons, I don't have any skills. I don't know what to do here. I got to eat. So when they have to eat, mm-hmm. they're going to go to what they know.
Right.
And they're going to do it in our community, especially when you're living in a community that's under the poverty level.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They'll rob, steal, but we have to change the tide.
Mm-hmm.
They'll murder. I want one day for us to look at each other and say, that's my brother.
Right.
I can't do that to
him. I cannot do that to him.
I cannot.
That's right.
And walk away. That's and think right. about your actions.
Why don't we, Mr. Floyd?
I think it's you hate to use the old adage or crabs in a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's only so much success out there.
Yeah.
It's, the American pie is truly that conceptually.
And they,
there's only
they
so
believe
many
that
slices.
People believe that, right?
Some people believe that,
right.
And so they act upon, I'm going to take what's not mine because there's only so much out there. It's not that I can build myself up and be successful, and then whatever there is to take in, there is to take in. It's not limited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is more to life than what you see in your community. I also, going back to talking about anger, is that in the absence of a protector, which comes and is assigned to a male, to a father figure,
mm-hmm.
in the absence of a protector, I may have to act more violent and more aggressive in order to put out there in my community, put out there amongst my peers, I'm not to be messed with,
mm-hmm.
in order to protect those that are inside my house, in order to keep people off of our
which
property.
Is a flawed notion, but it's perception.
It's
my perception of my reality.
It's perception.
Right.
So therefore,
right.
if I have to beat up the bully, I'm not just going to beat up the bully.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to beat the bully up. I'm going to kick the bully while the bully is down. I'm going to stab the bully while the bully is down.
Mm-hmm.
And I might even murder the bully so that everybody knows you don't come over here and mess with me. Whereas a father figure says, that's not your role,
right.
young man.
Right.
My role is
as
to
our father
teach
said to us.
Right.
That's right.
My role
they stepped out and they did that per se
right.
for us in many right. instances.
Right. They sure did. Yeah.
They stepped
yeah.
outside, get on out of here, go on down the street. I'm gonna matter of fact, I know your mother,
right.
I know your daddy. Matter of fact,
well,
we grew up
you come in this house.
That's
come,
it.
Right. right.
That's
and
it.
So you have that male mentoring and that to where the pecking order is reestablished.
Mm.
You fall up under the covering of this male in his household.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people out there may not agree. Some women may not necessarily agree and say that, well, you know, I don't need a man and all that. Everybody has a role to play.
Right. In a culture and a society.
In a culture and a society.
Right. Right.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's very good. You know what? And my audience is about to be mad at me. I love you and I appreciate you, but I'm going to ask a question and we're going to have to kind of end the show with this question. But look, let me throw this at you, Mr. Simmons.
Yes, sir, Doctor.
What do we do? What can we start to do to change the direction of the thinking of African American males?
What can we do?
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful question. And I believe in my heart that kingdom men have to get out in the streets and attack these corners and talk to these young boys mm-hmm. about what really
and
matters.
And be seen doing it. Absolutely.
And be seen
doing it. I agree with that.
We have to do that because
mm-hmm.
not everybody's going to come into the church house.
That's right. Right.
They're just not going to do
that's
it.
That's right.
So when we
no,
get
no,
out,
no, should they? No, that's because it's not our job necessarily.
That's right.
You're right. To
that's
get
right.
them in the church, it's our job to get them in the church.
The right. church.
And that may not happen first
mm-hmm.
in a building.
That's true.
That's right.
And when they see us out there and they see us attacking these corners, not everybody out there slinging a bag of dope wants to.
Right.
Sometimes they feel like they have to.
Right.
We have to give them different alternatives.
Right.
I've got a meeting coming up this Monday mm-hmm. with two males, two 17-year-old guys on the east side of Indianapolis mm-hmm. about the gang violence that's going on. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be two of the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I had a meeting set up. I'm going to talk to these guys about what really matters. Do you
and how
care?
Old are they?
17.
Wow.
Do you care if you live or die? Mm-hmm. That is my question.
Powerful. Ms. Floyd? What can we do? I'm going to let you close things out. And if you guys will, would you come back next week?
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Come back
yes,
next
sir.
Week and we'll jump right back at it. What, tell me what we how we can start to shift the direction of the thinking of our young African-American males.
I concur. We have to get out there and we have to form relationships. African-American males have to get over fear of other African-American males, in particular older adult males.
Mm-hmm.
You have younger males that are afraid of adult males mm-hmm. because of the perception mm-hmm. that was given to them by maybe an abusive relationship.
I was about to say, and the treatment.
And
often
the
treatment, absolutely.
Exactly.
But we hold their treasures whether they want to accept it or we know
that's
it.
That's right.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And so building relationships, letting them speak freely mm-hmm. about their fears and, you know, and the angst and things that they carry within them. So, and then be a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then that son of somebody may say, not only are you my friend, but I have accepted mm-hmm. and have appointed you, whether you know it or not,
right.
as my father.
Right.
If anybody's going to talk to me, if a male shows up, and I'm against every male, if this male shows up, I put my arms down for this male. We have to form relationships to where kids can come to us,
right.
wherever family they come out of, mm-hmm. and say, Mr. Floyd, Mr. Simmons, Dr. Posley, this is what's going on. I don't want to fight this guy. Right. I don't want to do this. I don't want right. to do that, but I don't know how.
And still can have his adulthood, his manhood intact.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That's right.
And so, therefore, trust is built to where more males are coming to and vocalizing. I'm upset. He did this. Now, you know that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pull this together. They're looking for the mentorship. They're looking for us to step in. We have to do it. We are the place that we have to do it.
That is powerful. I was just telling my son to kind of wrap things up yesterday that many of the relationships that you have, you don't choose.
Mm-hmm.
And some you do. But the most powerful part of any relationship is the fellowship.
Yes.
The fruit of a relationship is in the cultivating, and that's the fellowship. You guys have been great guests. Listen, I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for watching. This has been a powerful show, as you know. Do me a couple of favors. Number one, hit share. I'm looking for 50 shares of this show. If you care about African-American males, I want you to hit share. Not just comment. I appreciate your comments, but I want you to hit share. So some other African-American males in turmoil or some sisters can hear black men discussing this issue. We thank God for Mr. Simmons. We thank God for Mr. Floyd. They've consented to come back next week. This has been Moves That Matter. We are excited to bring you these types of topics, and we want you to know, keep in mind, in life, you are not a sedentary creature. You're always making moves. Why don't you choose to make your moves, moves that matter? I am your host, Dr. Clyde Posey. We will see you next week, next Tuesday at 7:30. God bless you. We'll see you soon.